This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I ask you guys this all the time, but I forgot that it's actually a song that I can reference the next time you guys do it to me. I don't know why you guys treat me so bad, but it's a good tune. Right about now, if you could see the theatrics going on, thanks to my partner, you would probably be highly entertained. It's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson until 4 o'clock. Nick Sciarra behind the glass chuckling is encouraging. Encouraging my partner, who is on another planet right now. So with the World Series now shifting gears, going to Chicago, and I know you guys don't want to talk about baseball, but this isn't exactly a baseball story. This is just, shall we say, an economics story. Murphy's Rooftop, the most famous bar in Wrigleyville, directly located across from Wrigley Field, always have had, thus the name, the rooftop view inside the stadium. That Travis has mentioned that they have had some lawsuits going against the Cubs because the Cubs continually try to build the right field wall up higher and higher so that they can't see in the stadium. Well, Murphy's at least is doing the right thing. During the World Series, they are basically the only bar that will not be covering a cover charge during the World Series. So I understand that bars are going to capitalize and profit on the World Series. But look, people are going to, in Wrigleyville, people are going to those bars regardless. So on top of it, if you're going to gouge them with a cover charge, and I would bet, I don't know what it is per se, and I'm sure we could try and find out. And look, my man Mo that always calls in from Chicago, he could probably find out for us.
It's probably a $5 charge or whatever it is.
I would say in Chicago it might be higher than that. I would say it would get to 10.
It might, but I think it would suck for the simple fact is, listen, they're going to come in and spend that money regardless. Yeah. They're going to spend an extra $10 at the bar. They're going to be that $10 might be a tip for your bartender. I mean, especially if you have regulars that are always in there. Like it's like me and Onyx. You know what I mean? Like But no, I'm just saying.
That's a fantastic example. Why are you trying to stop that?
Okay, proceed.
But it's like me at Onyx, you know. And when I'm a frequent goer. I always, from my rookie year, I should have had a stock in Onyx. But when like the All-Star game came here, they were charging some people, and I looked at the guy and said, "Listen, I'm here every day. You're not gonna charge me to get somewhere where I'm always." And the general manager came out and said, "No, Travis, good. Travis, whoever he's with is good because these guys come here." Even when there's nobody in here, they still frequent and still spend their money in here. And you can't put a price on loyalty, especially if it's your regulars. It'd be different if it's a guy from out of town and he has a California driver's license or whatever when he flashes his ID and he's never a regular. Right. Then you tell him, okay, it's going to cost you $10. We don't know you.
So membership has its privileges.
Oh,
I see.
So what other spots are there that you go to?
That I go to? Well, I mean,
you're contributing to the delinquency of my broadcast partner, Nick.
Well, I mean, Onyx is one of my few. Back in the day, Onyx used to have one of the best Friday lunches when Pat used to cook. Pat used to do like soul. It used to be Soul Food Friday, so we have mac and cheese and catfish and black eyed peas and rice, and it was phenomenal. Fridays were money. And, but I mean, of course I do my cigar bar. I do my cigar spot every day, cigar over in Sugar Land. I do that every day. That's my frequent spot.
What was this like? You got patches on your sleeve too?
Yeah, I mean, would.
This is like you're like on the PGA tour.
But I mean, for my spots that I frequent that treat me good, if I can go there and I can smile and I can have a good time, then I'll spend my money anywhere.
I'm with you. Look, and I got Nick on it. Falbo Brothers, and they actually came on board because
they
of it.
Did, and they
Falbo
did.
Falbo Brothers and Sugarland, and that deep dish pizza, and all the and the stone oven pizza.
That pizza was good.
If you're in Sugarland, Sweetwater Boulevard, right off 59, Falbo Brothers is not going to do anything but treat you right. They got deep dish stuffed crust. And like I said, being from the Midwest, and they're from Chicago, and they hit Chicago and Milwaukee, they got great pizza, man.
And that I think that's the thing I liked the most about Falbo Brothers was the fact that by the time we got to it,
yeah,
it was lukewarm, but yeah, it tasted phenomenal. That's
because we're on the air, we can't get to the kitchen, but yeah, it still tasted good.
And that to me is a great sign, is a good sign of great pizza.
Yeah, so no doubt, Falbo Brothers is going to be the sponsor of the show too, which I love.
All right, Falbo Brothers, man, I know I got some pizza coming, but. You know, if you could bring some pizza tomorrow so I could pay off my debt.
No, you got to pay off your debt a little bit differently than that. Your Dodgers lost. Keenan was bringing that up yesterday. You owe him.
Yeah, I do. And I'll get him right tomorrow. Keenan, come on with us tomorrow. We have a three-man weave.
There you go. Three-man weave tomorrow with Mac if we can get him on, which won't be a problem. By the way, getting back to this story, the Wrigley Field rooftop tickets were sold first come, first served, and were preparations were made for the World Series, but there was no guarantees. So the company that manages 11 rooftop clubs along Waveland and Sheffield released these statistics today. On Friday, 11 rooftops combined to have 2,000 available seats for the first and third home games and about 1,600 for game two, and only a couple hundred people on the waiting list across all three games. The rooftops will keep adding names to the wait list this weekend, and any remaining spots go on sale 9 a.m. Monday. Orders will be taken online. Phone orders are first come, first served. Murphy's Rooftop Company has been getting requests to add names to the wait list since the Cubs clinched Saturday night. But owner Beth Murphy is trying not to get fans' hopes up. Wrigley Rooftops, Murphy's, which seats 65, offered options on World Series tickets at the start of September. Non-refundable, $145, reserves. That reserves guaranteed fans a chance to buy a ticket if they advanced and they had a seat for you. Those sold out September 15th. They're doing quite well.
They are. They definitely for $145 and those are pre-orders. Those are before you even know. So question is if
here. Well, how about this? So the $145 non-refundable. This is why you don't need to charge cover because you're already getting it hand over fist. So the $145, which they pocket anyway. Just says, if we have a ticket, we'll offer it to you. You know how much the ticket costs if they have one?
How much?
$600. That's face.
Wow.
What? To that watch it insane. From a bar?
So for a rooftop bar looking in over the wall in right field, you're paying $745.
You're better off going to the game.
$745, and that doesn't include food and drink.
But are you?
Yeah,
just to play devil's advocate, are you?
But are you what?
You might have a great experience for that $600. You never know.
Here's my
I wouldn't pay it.
And here's the difference. At Wrigley Rooftops, down from Murphy's, where Murphy's isn't charging cover, tickets range from $735 to a grand plus taxes. Cheapest seats at the second game, $850.
I spend the $850 and be in the place.
Now, they say that that's a bargain compared to the average price for Friday for tickets on a search engine called SeatGeek. The average price for a ticket to be in Wrigley Field for the first World Series game at Wrigley in practically 100 years? $3,000. That's the average. And you got to believe it's going to go up.
You know what I would do? I would go rent me a scissor lift and drive it on to Wrigley Boulevard or whatever thing that is.
Waverly and Sheffield.
And proceed to turn the key and just raise it up so I can watch it from my own scissor lift.
You don't think anybody from the city is going to come down and come
hey,
over
man,
and shut
put,
that
hey,
down?
Hey, man, I put some, like the guy who busted up the Trump Star the other day, I'll just put on the city gear and be like, I'm working.
You look good in a fluorescent vest.
Exactly.
I will let you know that.
And put the hard hat on and strap in the
we
harness.
All know you got to wear a hard hat in a construction area, have to have the hard hat ready to go.
But here's my thing. So the $145 before the pre-order before the season. So here's if you bought it when the season first started, do you get the tickets for the $145 or you just get an opportunity to buy the tickets?
Because Wrigley is such a popular tourist attraction that they basically say they sell out those tickets. There's only 65 on Murphy's per se, right?
Yeah.
So those 65 sell out for every game. So they said, starting at September 1st, when they knew the Cubs were going to be in the postseason, they started selling the. It's basically like a lottery, but you have the ability. You pay $145, and then whenever they have an open ticket, you get first crack at it.
So, question: what if I come to them in April and say, "Listen, in October, I want to buy rooftop seats right now for October. This is what I want. This is the day." Here's $200. You hadn't been to the World Series since.
But see the face value that they're selling the ticket, and I don't know what they sell the regular season tickets for. But if face value is $600 and up, then you got to believe that $200 isn't going to get you anything.
But here's what I'm saying: you haven't been to a World Series in I don't know how long. And
since
if I tell
1919, I think
exactly, and since 1919, and if you tell me that if I give you $1,000 before the season starts. And tell you, you know what?
Non-refundable.
I'm going to let you hold my $1,000 and have my $1,000 for an entire table on the rooftop in October for, and I just happen to pick the week of, the 7-8 days, or the 10 days of the World Series.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you take it?
Depends on what kind of team you got. I mean, if you know going in that you're loaded. You know,
but I think they knew they were good.
So
but
that's
I don't think
the
they
burden
knew they
in the hand
good.
Versus that's the whole adage. Where do you take it up front, or do you take your chances and roll the dice that the Cubs are going to be in the series, and every one of those tickets is going to get you that exact same amount?
But yeah, not just that. But here's the thing: if I was going to put that kind of money on the seats, why wouldn't I go to Vegas and shoot the dice on them winning the World Series in the first place? It would have made me more money than watching it out there.
Depends on what the odds were, but at the same time, not everybody is like Fred and AJ. Or you. You guys are gamblers.
But
some
no,
people
I'm,
are not.
But
Nick, what would you do?
If what?
Oh boy. So Nick's been listening. So basically.
No, Nick, he's asking what would you do with the money?
No, would you go and try and spend it in during the season and try and reserve a couple tickets? Or Travis says, well, why would you do that at all? You just go to Vegas and gamble and or bet on your team and not even worry about it.
I mean, I like the Vegas angle, honestly.
But this is a special set of circumstances because you're talking about a team that hasn't been in the World Series in almost 100 years.
Yeah,
so I would say the biggest and the highest value ticket would be the first game in Chicago, but you're not even in the stadium.
But the biggest and highest value, if I'm going to spend $600 mm-hmm. – if I would have put $600 on the Cubs to win the World Series in March, or I mean not March, but I say May, or even September, I still would have got better odds and could have double, triple, quadruple
then
my
you'd
money.
Then you'd be Vegas Dave.
Then I would have beat it.
yes, you would.
I would have.
And maybe even better. Hey, Josh Rapp, thanks for always listening. He said Cubs haven't won since 1908. Last appearance was 45.
Yeah.
So that's been quite a long time, over 100 years. Yes. I got that part of it right. I had seen the different numbers being flashed around, but I always wanted to have the exact information.
I figured it was the 40s. The last time a World Series was played in Wrigley.
It'd be pretty cool to be there Friday night. It'd be a pretty good opportunity.
Hey, man, Mr. Cub ain't coming in that door, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, Ernie Banks has passed away.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. He's not coming
in
that door.
Have you ever been to Wrigley Field?
I've passed by.
See, that's not good enough. I've never been a Cub fan, and I never will be.
Yeah, I would love to see a game in there.
If you see a game in Wrigley, it's the most incredible stadium you've ever seen a game in. I promise you. It is an unbelievable experience. You know what else is an unbelievable experience? When you go to Nick on something and doesn't know what you're talking about. Or when you listen to us every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, we are ESPN 97.5.
Was from Norway to Egypt. Hey. I'm to the point like the pyramids of Giza. Still I'm to the left like the tower out in Pisa.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Blank and Travis Johnson until 4 o'clock with Nick Sherrara behind the glass. I know something that I didn't bring up to you guys. Nick, did you watch Hoops last night?
I did. All the way through.
Did you watch the first game?
The Rockets game.
Did you see the OKC game?
No, I didn't.
Trav, you?
Yeah, I saw part of it.
See the first quarter?
With the fans.
Yeah. So
yes,
first quarter.
I did see that.
First quarter, Nick, Westbrook gets an and one, okay? And after finishing it, he goes over to the baseline in front of some fans, and he muscles up and does the double look at these guns and says something. And this dude that looks like
He looks like the principal off of Billy Madison.
Okay. He's got an Iverson T-shirt on. He double rods Westbrook. He flips him off twice and yells "F you" at the top of his lungs. So Westbrook looks at the official and goes, "Can he do that?" And like 3 minutes later, they kick the guy out of the game. Oh my God! It was all over Twitter.
Fans have been rowdy. Did you guys hear on the fan yelling at Harden on during the? You could hear it in the broadcast of the Lakers game. The guy just kept yelling.
Who listens to those?
Oh, it was actually pretty funny.
Oh, you're talking about TV broadcast on national TV yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You could hear him yelling at Harden on the broadcast.
Like, he was heckling. What he said? Harden, you're something. Yeah, he was going in on
it. I was wondering where you were going with that and how far you'd take it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. Yelling.
Yeah, I could hear some guys yelling at him, but again, you can't look. That's going to happen.
That's what happens when you come to LA.
But okay. But here's the thing. The league puts these things in place for the very reason that they now reserve the right to be able to throw anybody out for any apparent reason when they act up. And I've seen it happen before, being at a lot of NBA games. You get people that you're allowed within reason. You know, you keep it between the lines. You're not like taking personal shots with cuss words and things like that and attacking them. But you can break it down. I mean, look, it's been... over the course of time, it's been documented about Robin Thicke, Ficker, the attorney in Washington that like would read your bio and know everything about you and break it down from your wife when she was here said this and your high school friends back at this school and whatever. But I mean, this dude was just blatant last night. It was F you at the top of his lungs with double rods in Westbrook's face.
Well, they're inconsistent with it though. Like sometimes you can see somebody flick somebody off and then they don't get kicked out and then. You see somebody get flicked off, and then the next thing you know, they're getting escorted out.
But a lot of that's dependent upon the officials calling the game, too. Because some of the officials just go, that's just part of being a fan. And other officials, just like how sensitive they are when they flip the technical on you real quick, they don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, but not just that. It also depends on where your seats are at. This guy was on the floor on the baseline.
Nick, you can go on Twitter and you can find it. But the video is unbelievable. Dude is like the most intense guy. He's going right at
him. And he gave him a great bird's eye view of his two birds.
Yeah. You know I mean? And the thing is, if that's a dark alley or a street corner or anywhere else where he doesn't have like people between him and security and everything like that, he's never doing that.
Here's the thing. I wonder if he has season tickets and if he's probably going to be back next game.
There's got to be.
That is different.
Almost got thrown out of the Little League game the other day.
Again?
Yeah, man.
This
is me arguing.
Were you the scorekeeper?
No, I was arguing balls and strikes, man. This dude.
So
man.
You were that guy?
Yeah.
Yes, you became that guy.
No, it was
the first one I sided with you.
Yeah, no.
I'm already siding with the other guy. You're being that guy.
But I wasn't really arguing. I just was making, I was more making the joke like, come on, Blue. Like, are you serious? Because he was, it's kids pitch.
Yeah.
So, you kind of.
Was your son pitching?
No, he wasn't pitching.
Okay, he wasn't pitching.
No, it was somebody else's kid pitching. And matter of fact, it wasn't even our team up to bat. It was one of our kids pitching. It was the other team up to bat.
Okay.
And
then of course you're going to pick on the strike zone if it's your team pitching.
But no, he called it a strike and it wasn't a strike.
But your team's pitching, so you'll take that.
No, but the thing is, I want consistency. I want good baseball. I want the kids to learn the proper. Like when my son gets up right now, even though there's no on base percentage in Little League baseball, like he walks all the time because he's not. I'm telling you, I said, listen, you're not going to swing at something at your eyes. You're not going to swing at nothing in the dirt. And you're not going to swing at nothing in your eyes. You're not going to swing at something that's going to one hop right past the plate. We're not going to do that. We're not going to give you bad habits at a young age. And the kid throws a pitch and it's literally eye level. It goes over the catcher and the umpire because I guess they were short because it was the Houston Monday night game. So one of our regular umpires, actually a kid named Travis, who I lost $20 to because from the baseball game, he's not behind the plate. So we just have the old man that's behind the pitching mound calling balls and strikes and all the outs. He's only one umpire at the old game.
You don't give him a little benefit of the doubt? He's filling in and he's trying to help out?
No, not at all.
That's not nice.
Because if you're going to do it, you're going to do it right.
Okay. Yeah?
And,
so give us the rest of it.
And so the ball goes over the catcher and he reaches up and the dude strike. I said, are you kidding me? And he goes to coach, I'm not going to have that today. I'm not going to have this today. I'm sorry. Are you rushing home to your TV dinner? And one of the porn sites or something? What are you doing?
You made it personal. And you went way over the, you towed the line with the TV dinner comment.
But then when
absolutely pushed through the line with the porn comment.
Because he pushed at me.
And I don't think he could have been a strike.
No, he's like, I'm not going to have it. I'm going to throw him out of here. You ain't throwing nobody out.
I wish I was there for that.
I think you're devaluing the entire scenario. I think you questioning his call is not nearly as bad as basically insinuating that this man is lonely and has a TV dinner and a porn site on hold waiting for him
at home. Because here's the thing. But then the worst part was he didn't say it straight to me. He wanted to say it under his voice as he's walking back. And I had to ask, excuse me. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you rushing? Like, the game started at 7:30. So it's all, like, the game is going to go from 7:30 to 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So what are you in a rush to get home for? Right now, there's not much going on at this. You're going to miss the Monday night game already. You know, so it just was.
The last thing you want to do is kind of mumble something to Travis and kind of walk away. And then he actually says, excuse me.
No, like, dang my wife, he's got ears like a radar. I mean, he can hear everything.
I might not remember a lot of stuff with my brain some days, but I hear everything. And I felt very disrespected at the time.
Well, obviously, but then you lashed out.
Because
last time you handled it like a true father and gentleman. This time, I'm not giving you the gold star.
It wasn't a father and gentleman. It just was. My thing is, when
it's a teachable moment, though. I need to teach you at this point that this is something that you don't need to do going forward.
But here's the thing: kids at this age, all you got to do is be consistent with them, so they understand. You know what how you baseball
don't
is.
Yes, I do. But you don't understand that you made no case with me. Because of the fact that you just basically said your team was pitching and you're questioning balls and strikes.
But I wasn't questioning. Here's the thing. It was a ball. Our pitcher threw a ball and he called it a strike.
And okay.
That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
Our pitcher threw the ball, but he called it a strike. And here's the thing. I cheer for both teams when I go out there because these kids need the encouragement. I cheer for both teams. If a kid gets a good hit, I clap him up. Great job, 12. If a kid throws somebody out and does something well, I always cheer them up. But here's the thing. When you're not consistent, these kids aren't learning anything. And now you got kids hacking at balls Bill Bradley wouldn't have swung at.
Does anybody on these airwaves know who Bill Bradley is?
No, and I probably don't know who Bill Bradley is, but still.
He's an old ex-New York Knickerbocker, but former U.S. Senator.
Exactly.
Yeah, but again, you sometimes pull things out of your dome piece that I don't know where they came from, and I don't know where they're going. But I'm just happy that you're here.
But you understood where I was going.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Okay. So if you want to chime in on fatherhood, we're here too. Chris, we see you. You want to talk about being kicked out of a tournament. This ought to be good. You hold on. We'll be with you after, as Chuck Willard would say, we'll be with you in 2-2. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We hopefully are infusing energy into your Thursday. It's Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, till 4 o'clock. Nick Sherrod behind the glass. Before we headed to break, Travis was once again letting us into the world that is Trap J99 off the air, and that is he is a very good father that is very diligent about his kids in athletics. And we've now found out that he also has a tendency to fly off the handle. The first time he told us a Little League story, we sided with Travis against an overzealous parent of on the other team.
Right.
And we gave Travis kudos for being able to keep his composure in a volatile situation, for the most part, right?
But you got to appreciate what he was doing, because he was working against his own team.
So in this case, you're still siding with Travis. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, he had good intentions, is what I'm
saying. But how couldn't you not side with me? Like I said, I wasn't arguing for my team. I was just arguing on consistency when it comes to teaching these kids.
But at the same time, there's something to be said about the guys trying to fill in because the Texans were playing, a lot of people were bailing. and he's trying to just get you guys.
He's a regular out there, so it's like, yeah, he's not regularly behind the plate, and he doesn't have to make a lot of the decisions. But it's like, dude, you way back here, like, at least get behind. I'd rather you get behind the plate and give me out.
He didn't have the gear.
I mean, that's.
Went to porn and TV dinners for the man. He might be a happily married man with a nice family and a nice setup, just very much dedicated to developing youth baseball.
He might be.
But you didn't allow him to think that way.
But because he didn't show me he was that way.
I'm okay with the TV dinner comment. Maybe the porn comment could have been left out.
Well, I mean, I look forward to going home and watching some too.
And on that note, Chris wants to talk about the fact that I believe he was kicked out of a tournament. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good man, how are you?
Just moved in from South Louisiana over here to you guys' area. I want you to know I'm a big fan of your show. I get to listen to your show daily in my commute home from work if I get off of work early enough. But, Travis, my son is now 13. He was 12 last spring, and he was playing, I guess you'd call it travel baseball. And we had a tournament about an hour from the town that we lived. We went in the night before, got a hotel room. That particular night, weather blew in. And they delayed an 8 o'clock start for the tournament till noon the next day. So we show up there, I guess about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
That must have been that nation's tournament.
I'm sorry?
That must have been that nation's tournament last year when the weather got bad.
No, actually it was a U Trip tournament. I was gonna try not to say that, but it was U Trip LSA tournament. It was in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and it was the governor's game.
Okay, I know you're talking about.
So there were teams out of Texas, out of Louisiana, maybe even a couple out of like Arkansas. People were traveling from all over the place to this tournament. So we show up there, and there's four ballparks at this facility. And we're walking around, and there are just small lakes all around the bases, the pitching mound, and things. I mean, there's lots of work to be done.
Yeah.
But the fields could be made playable if there's some effort put in.
Yeah.
And this particular tournament, there was a bunch of young men working there. I'll happy to say that they were all football players at McNeese State University. Very good guys, worked, did whatever they could that they were told by the guy running the show. I went to one of those young men. I said, hey, look, I've got a group of dads that are willing to do anything for any field here to help you guys get these fields in playing condition. He said, hey, we appreciate that. I will let my boss know. So I guess 15 minutes later, I walk up near the concession stand where they have their tent set up, and I see the same young man. I said, hey, man, I said, did y'all ever get those shovels and rakes and things so we could get those fields going for you guys? Well, the guy that was running the tournament stands up and says, sir, we're not putting a rake or a shovel on those fields today. And I said, what? I said, man, I said, there's quicksand around third base. I said, if a kid tries to slide in there, it's going to stop him cold. I said, man, you might have a lawsuit on your hands if a kid snaps a leg at third base and you've not made an effort to make this any better. He said, sir, you can leave. Well, I shut my mouth because he said, I can leave. So I didn't. I took it as if it meant I had a choice in the matter. Well, they ended up working in some sand. They worked in a half a bag of sand with a broom to the pitcher's mound and the third base, and they ended up playing. It was still not good conditions.
Yeah.
At a first base there was footprints six and eight inches deep. So I'm standing there just rooting for the team. The guy walks up to me and says, sir, I told you to leave the park earlier. I said, no, you didn't. You said I could leave. He said, well, that meant that you had to leave. And now that you're still here, you can't come back tomorrow either. But let's just say at that point, I was not the example that I needed to be for the rest of the kids. But I did say, you realize that Of all these teams here, there's thousands upon thousands of dollars invested. You guys made next to no attempt to make these fields better. All you had was a half a bag of sand and a push broom.
All right. Chris, we appreciate the story, brother, but we're going to keep rolling along. The moral of that story is don't be a Richard, for one.
Yeah.
And for two, at least Chris had a legitimate beef and a little bit of a misunderstanding. I think you were a little hard on the guy.
No, you're never too hard on a guy. Ask him to do his job.
I think
that's where Chris was getting at it, is I'm asking you to do your job. That's all I'm asking.
Chris
you
had
do.
A legitimate point because of the fact that you could see that work could be done, which could salvage the day and keep it safe for the players.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just worried about one pitch. Could you just not see a theme? Could you see a pattern develop before?
It was a pattern.
You didn't point that out.
It was a pattern because he was, it's like he was trying, you know, you get guys that.
Like Nick would have charged the mound.
I would have.
Knocked him smooth out.
But here's the thing. Like when you deal in a business like that and you're dealing with kids, don't be impatient and don't just call stuff
or don't
so we can hurry up or so we can hurry up and go home.
I get that.
You know what I mean? And that was my whole thing was he was basically making calls almost just so he can hurry up and get out of there.
To see the game.
Just to see the game or to get to do where, you know, his TV dinners and his website.
Which was uncalled for.
You know what I mean? And it's
completely
like, dude,
uncalled for on your part.
Hey, man, I go for the jugular.
Yeah, but you don't have to go right away.
Always.
No, not hey, always. You're not playing anymore.
Have you ever seen Ender's Game?
You're not playing anymore.
You ever seen the movie Ender's Game?
Nope.
Where the kid gets in a fight and they wonder.
How long is this story going
to be? No, it's quick. Kid gets in a fight and they wonder why he beat up the guy and he kept on kicking him when he's down. And he said, because I wanted to win all the other fights. So it wouldn't be in the other fight. So I'll go for the jugular right now.
Do you think when you show up in a game that people think they're going to stand in line to be the next one to get at you? Because they're not.
No, they're not. But I just always
you're not
going to
have any other fights. You're not in Ender's Game. Okay, yeah. You're in the game of life. You're winning, Charlie Sheen. Winning. So regardless of who might want to take you on or who might want to make one bad call, I don't think they make that call and in the back of their mind go, I may upset that big gentleman, and he may have some nasty things to say about my viewing habits and my eating pattern.
Well, next time they just need to make sure Travis, who is our regular umpire, shows up because me and Travis have a banter going back and forth.
Oh, so you're bribing the official on the side?
No, not bribing
well,
the official. I didn't lose a bet to him, but it was a real.
Sounds like cash has changed hands, that you are referring to him as more than just an acquaintance.
He's just
that
an acquaintance.
That can be conflict of interest, my friend.
Hey, well, if it is, then I'm the guy. I'm the guy rigging Little League games.
So all of a sudden, your kid makes it to the bigs because everybody's been grooving fastballs. Because otherwise, the coalition behind the plate might have a problem with it. Is that what we're figuring
Probably.
Out?
Probably.
Okay, so now the real truth hangs out. Greg, hang on. We'll be with you in a minute. We've got a few more segments to go. We are here up until 4 o'clock. Then Fred and AJ take you home with the Blitz. ESPN 97.5. Over the seas
and all the greens. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Good news, not good news, bad news. Good news, because Travis Johnson's here with me till 4 o'clock, and Trav's got a full day on Friday and then another day on Monday. So we're probably not going to get to as much Texans talk as we might otherwise get on a Thursday when Barry's here, because we need to get Barry's takes before we get to the weekend with the Trav with the bookend shows around Saturday and Sunday. So because of the fact that we will be on the air again tomorrow, we've saved a lot of the Texans talk for Friday instead of Thursday. For the caller that called in just to say that he does not care about Travis's story, I give you Exhibit A, the guy at the Philly game telling Russell Westbrook exactly what we're telling you. Basically, then just keep driving and you have options. You have options, use them. But you know what? If that's your way of being able to make your porn and TV dinner life better,
exactly.
Then hey, more power to you, because that was rude and uncalled for, and we don't need it.
You sit on it and rotate.
There you go. Greg, don't sit on it and rotate. Tell us your proud father-son story. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, sir.
Yeah, my story is a little different. I hope it's
a little shorter.
Yeah, it's got to be a little shorter, Greg.
Yeah, I've been involved with Little League for years, and I backed off. But long story short, my boys, I used to coach Little League football, and my boys, I wouldn't let them play because they were so small. So they would be mad at me, and I kept him around the game. Well, lo and behold, my son now is 35 years old, and the beauty of it is that he's coaching. He went to school and got his degree in math and science, but he's also coaching. And he and I, we talk every Tuesday after his game and stuff. And we just had a moment where he was just telling me, he's like, Pop, he said, man, everything that you did, you know, I'm doing what you love, you know. It's just that I went on and furthered. When I had the opportunity, I didn't take advantage of it because I didn't have the confidence. And he went on and he graduated, got his degree, and he's coaching, and he's doing very, very well. But what's so ironic, I went to a football game Friday night, and a couple of friends asked me when was I going to get back into coaching. Then I get a phone call Saturday from another guy asked me when I'm going to get back to coaching. So the moral of the story is that evidently, you know, when I thought I was just out there not doing anything, evidently I was doing something wrong and something right, and I touched a lot of people's lives. So, you know, when we out there thinking we're not teaching, and I'm saying teaching, Travis, right? Because a lot of guys try to live dreams. We teach. I get guys that know what they're doing. We teach. And if you teach a child from little, they'll bring it up when they're large. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of them, they don't do it. Thanks.
Greg, we appreciate the call, man. The moral of the story there is every teachable, coachable moment can influence someone's life to where it become something that they stick with them for the rest of their lives. Travis Johnson, thanks for that, because basically you did not use that mentality in your last experience. The first one, yes. The second one, not so much.
I'm always teaching my boy. That's one thing he knows.
That his dad has umpire rage.
And he knows his daddy is one mean and surly bastard.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm okay with that when you played.
I know, but he just...
But off
the
field, I need you to be the softer, gentler, teddy bearish Travis Johnson.
But I am.
But, we don't know that.
My kids also know daddy plays zero games. He don't play the radio. That's what we say. He don't play the radio.
Well, you play games, all right.
Play zero games.
That's not true.
Zero.
No, you play games.
I play games, me and you, because we're cool, we're acquaintances, we're friends.
Wait, we're just acquaintances
now?
No,
that's what I'm saying. We're acquaintances, we're friends. We're, you know.
But you play video games.
Barely. I have ADD bad.
First of all, you don't have to tell Nick or I that. We fully realize that on a daily basis.
So video games don't hold. You know, the only time I play video games is because my kids ask me to play. Like, my son asked me to play, and I go play with him. But outside of that, like, my parents used to buy me the Nintendo. Remember when Nintendo was out?
Yep.
And it was big?
Yep.
Like, I would get it for Christmas or get a new game for Christmas. I'd play it for, like, 20 minutes, and it would never come back out until, like, one of my cousins came over.
So is this the point where you now break down, like, what you were wearing, what you guys had for dinner, what size the Christmas tree was, and what city you were in?
No, not at all.
But I'm just wondering if we can have one more of those stories before the end of the day.
Oh, man, if we have another one, it's going to take us all the way to the break and all the way to the end of the
show.
Especially
with your ADD.
Bring back the Little League stories. Those are great. The Little League stories are awesome.
Because
your ADD, man, I'm telling you.
It's bad.
Woo!
It's real bad.
It's killing me. I'm telling you.
Hey, just wait. Wait till Little Miss Blank is over there playing softball, and you're going to...
First of all, don't hurt me like that.
Hey, and you're going to...
She can run track, and she can play volleyball.
She's going to play softball.
Tainted by the WNBA to some degree, but softball, Lisa's dad and I have already had that conversation. I debate that.
She's going to play softball. She's going to play basketball. She's going to run track. And you're going to be the same...
I'm not going to be you. You're not on one pitch.
You're going to be worse than me.
No.
Yes.
Not even close.
Have you ever seen, like, a parent yell at another kid on the field or on the court, like, of the opposing team? Have you ever seen that?
You know,
that's the best.
You know what's crazy?
That's the worst if you're the kid, though.
I know, but
that's
hilarious.
You're scoring for life.
Hey, what's crazy was it was one year my kids, I had both my daughter and my youngest daughter and my oldest boy on the same basketball team at one point. You know, it was at the Y. And my daughter, she's one tough. She's a tough individual now. I mean, she plays.
Not exactly the traits you want to instill in your daughter in certain degrees. But
oh, no.
Okay.
She was born with this. She's tough.
I don't want her to end up being Big Shirley on what's happening.
No, she's not Big Shirley. She's going to be too pretty to be Big Shirley.
I get that. But I mean, let's talk about the attitude.
Yeah, but I'll never forget. It was this kid. We played an AU team that was getting extra games at the Y. And I told her, I said, you D him up. You body him up and don't let him go anywhere. And she's like, okay, daddy. And she literally starts pushing the kid around. She's giving him the business. Every up and down the court, she's a great, she's probably the best athlete I got. And the mother of the other kid is getting so pissed because this kid stopped scoring.
Upset, yes.
Yeah, she's getting so upset. He stopped scoring, and she's about 2 seconds from grabbing my daughter because her son starts to cry. But she doesn't realize my wife is behind her. And all I heard was, if you touch her, you'll die.
Oh, that's nice. That is very nice.
And I'm sitting there like, because, you know, at the time, I was actually coaching for my brother-in-law with Robert.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that quiet, that silence that goes amongst the crowd.
Yeah.
And you saw the lady like getting out of the stands because, you know, why is it small? You know, small little gym. And all I heard was, you touch her, you'll die. And it gave me a shiver because I'm sitting there like.
To say sometimes it's not how much you say, yeah. It's just the tone and the point of the matter that can just take care of everything.
And I'm literally looking like, man, I guess they forgot my wife was from Flint. You know, they drinking dirty water.
Oh, she's a Flintstone.
There. Yeah, my wife is a Flintstone.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there is a tough version of the human race coming from Flint, Michigan.
No question. You know, yes. and it was. It was hilarious because I was like, Dave, what you about to do? She's like, she didn't want no part of that. She didn't want them problems. And I said, I know she didn't.
That's pretty sweet, though, because then again, you're out of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
because it's always difficult when you try. You're not going to, first of all, you know you've been brought up right. You're not supposed to, like, have a confrontation with a female.
Yeah.
We've talked about this with a lot of other subjects. But the fact that your wife can be like, hey, but. Female on female, we ain't having any of that.
My wife would have wore her out, too. And she was a big girl, too. The other lady was a big girl. I said, man, my wife would have drug her through this gym. It would have been hilarious. That would have been a world star moment, but it would have been hilarious.
You know, that's the thing I got.
That would have been the best, man.
That's the problem awesome. I got, because Mario was in here yesterday, and Mario was talking about he coaches up his kids, but he makes sure he's not that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to coach them up, but the officials at this point, it's more about the development of his kids.
About teaching. It's all about
teachable moments, right?
And that's what I always push on my kids. Yeah, I'm hard on them because I want them to be able to prepare the right way. And I want them to play the game the right way. Yeah, you have fun, but still play the right way. You understand?
Right.
You feel me? And respect the game because the game is.
Those are things that are lost on a lot of kids that we were brought up with that they don't get anymore. Because the first thing my dad always told me too was, you know, you understand the unwritten rules, but at the same time, if you play the right way, win or lose, you're going to keep coming back, and you're going to get a lot out of the experience.
Exactly.
It's when you try and cut corners, when you have coaches and dads that are trying to, you know, just for the sake of getting that win that day, that's when you can learn a lot of bad habits.
Oh, no question. And I think that's probably the reason why I love my son's, his coach, because he's a big teacher when it comes to teaching them the game, teaching them all the things about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I, because I don't get riled up about wins and losses and how my child does. And this, I just want people to have fun, play the game the right way. Because as being a guy who played pro ball, it's cool, but it's not the only thing in life. Your kids, you know, this game is going to teach your kids everything outside of just.
Well, it teaches you about life.
Exactly.
It sets you up for life if you play it the right way. And I got through college and played a little bit farther than that. I'll always remember that because we talk about life's teachable moments, but it makes you a hell of a lot better human being if you do things the right way back then. You learn how to do things the right way when you're old enough to make real decisions. By the way, Hani, our man, Hani, that runs Fallible Brothers, is listening now. Hani. Great pizza. The guys want to say shout outs. They'll take it anytime. Matter of fact, they're still waiting because they would like the deep dish and the stuff that they haven't tried yet.
And tell Hani, I want some of that new lasagna.
It's not on the market. We're doing the test kitchen right now.
Well, can I be part of the test kitchen? I like to eat.
Lord knows you got the oven that can fit it all in.
I like pig's feet.
He's got an oven that'll fit it in, Hani. That's Fallible Brothers right on Sweetwater Boulevard, right off of Highway 59 in Sugar Land. And if you're in the area and you want some good pizza, check out Fallible Brothers, new sponsor of the show. We appreciate you being listeners to the show and making sure that we are part of your daily listening pleasure each and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. For Nick Sciarra behind the glass and Travis Johnson to my left, I'm Joel Blank. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Trav and I are back, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.